Good morning, everybody. We'd like to take a moment just to say thank you once again to all of our visitors that are here. We are so grateful that you have decided to worship with us this morning, and I know that there are a lot of you that are becoming regulars now, and we're so thankful for that, Mr. Danny and Miss Dottie. Glad to have you guys with us, and many, many others, and so we are very grateful for your presence here this morning. And also want to say thank you to Brother Brown for that beautiful prayer. It is an amazing thing to know that God is it. He is real. He is at work in all of our lives, and it is a great thing to be here and to worship him on this beautiful first day of the week. So thank you. You guys may have noticed that every time I speak, I always just use a Bible and paper. And one of the fruits that we're trying to bear from my time with John this summer is to break that habit and occasionally break out the slides. And so that will be the downfall of my ministry work. And so today will be the guinea pig experiment with one slide, and we'll see if it crashes and burns and make a fool of myself. So with that said, we've come to the point of our service where we are going to partake of the Lord's Supper. But before we do so, I'm going to present some thoughts to have on your hearts and your minds before we partake. So if you'd like to turn to Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to make a point there in the scripture in just a minute. But when you think of the crucifixion, there are a lot of facts that we know and we think about when we focus on Jesus. You know, we think about Jesus and his hands being pierced by the nails, and we think of Jesus up on the cross, and we tend to think of the sign above his head that says, the King of the Jews, and we think of the soldiers mocking our Lord and spitting upon him and hurling abuse at him, and we focus a lot on Jesus' suffering. But have you ever thought about some of the lesser-known details of the crucifixion? Have you ever considered that darkness fell over the land for a period of around 3 hours, from the sixth to the ninth hour, the gospel tells us, as well as there was an earthquake that shook the earth, and about all the tombs being opened and the dead being raised from their graves? Or this, in Matthew chapter 27, in verse 50 and 51, it says, "And Jesus cried out again with a loud voice and yielded up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And the earth shook and the rocks were split." Why does the scripture tell us that? Why is that revealed to us that the veil of the temple was torn in two? What is the significance of the veil's tearing? In order to answer this question, we need to turn to the Old Testament. If you'd like to turn to the book of Exodus, where John has been preaching his series lately, this coincides with his sermon this morning. So this is Exodus chapter 26. We're going to begin reading in verse 31. It says, "You shall make a veil of blue and purple and scarlet material and fine twisted linen. It shall be made with cherubim, the work of a skillful workman. You shall hang it on the four pillars of acacia overlaid with gold, their hooks also being of gold, on four sockets of silver. You shall hang up the veil under the clasps and shall bring in the ark of the testimony there within the veil. And the veil shall serve for you as a partition between the holy place and the holy of holies." The veil within the tabernacle was to separate the holy of holies and protect the presence of God.
Maybe.
I called it. Oh, well. Well, there's a nice picture for you, so enjoy. So the first point of the veil is that it protects the presence of God from the rest of, well, and it's cut off. Great. So it was a partition between God and the Holy of Holies, and it separated him from his people. Well, although the people of God and God had this relationship and this covenant, it did require for them to keep distance from each other, because God is holy and he is perfect and the people were not. They were filled with sin and they were imperfect and filled with impurities. There was an exception, however, to the people being able to enter into the Holy of Holies and part the veil. If you'd like to turn in Leviticus chapter 16, talking about the Day of Atonement, in which the high priest is able to enter into the Holy of Holies and part the veil. Chapter 16 of Leviticus, verses 2 through 4 read, The Lord said to Moses, "Tell your brother Aaron that he shall not enter at any time into the holy place inside the veil, before the mercy seat which is on the ark, or he will die. For I will appear in the cloud over the mercy seat. Aaron shall enter the holy place with this, with a bull for a sin offering and a ram for a burnt offering. He shall put on the holy linen tunic, and the linen undergarments shall be next to his body, and he shall be girded with the linen sash and attired with the linen turban. These are holy garments. Then he shall bathe his body in water and put them on. Only after this process, this cleaning process, and putting these garments on and presenting the bull, would Aaron, the high priest, be able to enter into the Holy of Holies and part the veil." Skipping down in verses 11 through 17, we see the process of offering the sacrifices on behalf of the people. This is verse 11 of Leviticus 16. It says, "Then Aaron shall offer the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself, and make atonement for himself and for his household. And he shall slaughter the bull of the sin offering, which is for himself. He shall take a fire pan full of coals of fire from upon the altar before the Lord, and two handfuls of finely ground sweet incense, and bring it inside the veil. He shall put the incense on the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is on the ark of the testimony. Otherwise, he will die. Moreover, he shall take some of the blood of the bull and sprinkle it with his finger on the mercy seat on the east side, and he shall sprinkle some of the blood with his finger seven times." And then in verse 15 it says, "Then he shall slaughter the goat of the sin offering, which is for the people, and bring its blood inside the veil, and do with his blood as he did with the blood of the bull, and sprinkle it on the mercy seat in front of the mercy seat. He shall make atonement for the holy place because of the impurities of the sins of Israel and because of their transgressions in regard to all their sins. And thus he shall do for the tent of meeting which abides with them in the midst of their impurities. When he goes in to make atonement in the holy place, no one shall be in the tent of meeting until he comes out. Because of their impurities or their sins, the people of Israel were not allowed to go through the veil and enter into the Holy of Holies, except for the high priest, in this case Aaron, and this was once a year on the Day of Atonement for the sacrifice of the people's sins. He was to enter in and offer sacrifice first for himself, and then secondly, one for the people. So, thinking back to the crucifixion, when Jesus was crucified, the veil was torn. What does this mean? Well, if you'd like to turn, this is very important here. If you turn to the book of Hebrews, this is chapter 9 in the book of Hebrews. Verses 6 through 7 on the Day of Atonement say, "Now when these things have been so prepared, the priests are continually entering the outer tabernacle, performing the divine worship. But into the second, only the high priest enters once a year, not without taking blood, which he offers for himself and for the sins of the people committed in ignorance." Skipping down in verse 11, it says, "But when Christ appeared as a high priest for the good things to come, he entered through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this creation. And not through the blood of goats and calves, but through his own blood, he entered the holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling those who have been defiled sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God?" Jesus did not enter into the tabernacle when he was crucified. Jesus entered the real Holy of Holies, the real presence of God where God dwells. And he presented his own innocent blood as a sacrifice on behalf of our sin. In In verse 15, it says, "For this reason, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that since a death has taken place for the redemption of the transgressions that were committed under the first covenant, those who have been called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance." Jesus entering the throne room of God, presenting his perfect blood on the mercy seat, it established a new covenant with God in which there is no veil because he is our mediator. The veil was needed for a time in which for the sacrifices that were sufficient but imperfect. Without Jesus' sacrifice, there was need for a veil separating God from his people. But because of his sacrifice, his innocent bloodshed, God's people experience full redemption with God in a way that the Jews never could as part of their religion. They had never done this before. Our fellowship with God is so intimate and such a perfect thing, and without Jesus' sacrifice, it would not be possible. This morning, as we gather around this table, and as we're about to partake of these emblems, and remember Jesus, it is so important to recognize that because of the tearing of the veil when Jesus was crucified, that God is really in our presence with us this morning. He's here worshiping with us. He's here with us. We should not take for granted the spiritual blessings of Jesus' sacrifice. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 20. It says, "Where two or more gathered in my name, I am there with them also." As we have this opportunity to remember our Lord, and as we sing this song in a moment, we offer these prayers and we partake of these emblems, of this supper, of this memorial for our Savior, let us be so thankful that the veil is torn and that we have this fellowship and this redemption with God, and that he is here with us in this very moment in worship this morning.